Congratulations on a huge win, Rio. Let's hear it once more. Your winner, Mackenzie Dern.
My game plan for this fight and everything else is attitude, 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 attitude.
Caitlin Chukagi, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another star-studded episode of UFC Unfiltered.
Can we get the other guy off my Zoom? I'm sorry, everybody. I'm new to the technology.
That's okay. Matt doesn't like another guy on the Zoom.
No, I don't want to hide non-video.
I'll tell you how to do it. Matt,
I did it.
You did it faster than I did because I had a hard time figuring it out because I'm an idiot with Zoom.
We're going to start over. Can we just start over?
No, we're doing good.
This is halfway
done. We're halfway done. We got Caitlin Chukagan will be on shortly. We all also right. have Pat McAfee, who was a huge name over at Barstool, and now he's hosting the Pat McAfee Show. He's doing his own thing. He's a very, very ex-kicker for the Colts and a really, really funny guy. And we also have coming on Mackenzie Dern, who was fighting this Saturday. So very good show. I hope so. I shouldn't say very good show until we do it because you never know. I might suck, and then I said very good show, and I didn't do a good show.
Well, you know what was a good show? Well, I'm confident this is going to be a good show. That's why I kind of just brushed over that.
Sure.
But what was a good show was when we jumped on as a team.
That's right.
I like that they ask us to come on shows like together.
Yeah.
It makes our bond even stronger. Me and
yep.
you.
I agree.
And it was the Believe You Me podcast with Michael Bisping and your buddy Luis J. Gomez,
I really love. Luis J. Gomez, comedian, podcast host. He runs Gas Digital. He's a fucking animal. Like, Luis is a guy. He's a guy, if he was fighting, he'd be fighting in three different ways. I hate to say this, but Luis is the Henry Cejudo of podcasting because
hold on. You just attacked your friend. Because the guy's known for being cringy. Who? You don't want this. Henry Cejudo, he's known as one of the best ever, but
no,
he's also known for being extra cringy. And that's not what you say for your friend that's a comedian.
No.
But here's what I was saying. I'm sticking up for Luis.
I was saying that Luis is like Henry Cejudo because he's in different weight classes. He's doing good things in podcasting and in comedy. Like he's doing so many different things in different arenas. He's like the Henry Cejudo.
I shouldn't have
much fatter than Henry Cejudo. Luis is much fatter.
I shouldn't have jumped in there, Jimmy. But I'll tell you, and he also had an amateur MMA fight versus another.
He did. He's a psychopath.
That's great. Well, listen, I don't have a lot of friends, but I like the ones that I have.
Yeah.
You understand, Jimmy? And you're one of them.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to talk to Caitlin because we have not spoken to her since she handled her loss like a champ. Sure, you know, sure. Making some jokes and whatnot. I remember on Instagram. And you know what I spent my morning doing, Jimmy?
Not the same thing I was doing, I'm guessing. What?
Well, maybe a little bit of that.
Maybe.
I don't know what you were doing, but I'm sure it was something naughty. But I watched Mackenzie Dern's last fight.
Ah.
Yes. And I'm just, when was that? I'm trying to look up the, it was in October. And versus Amanda Ribas. And that girl's badass. But there's something I really took away from it, you know?
What?
And should I keep you on in suspense?
Oh yeah. Let's bring her around. I don't want Caitlin to wait. I didn't know she was here.
Jimmy, hold that thought.
Yeah, let's get Caitlin.
About what I took from that fight and one thing that could totally help Mackenzie. Yeah. But I'm not going to bring it up to Mackenzie, Jimmy, because she's fighting this weekend and I'll sound like an idiot. But I'm just saying something I took from it. Okay. All right.
Let's get to our good friend, Caitlin Chukagan. She looks happy, so she probably can't hear us. That's always a sign that someone can't hear us when they look happy.
She always looks happy. And now she looks like she's puzzled. Now she looks like she's bored.
Then she definitely can hear us.
She can hear us.
If she looks bored, she can definitely hear us.
Hold on. How awkward. Did you hear us the whole time?
No, I couldn't hear. I could hear you. You just weren't saying anything interesting.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just joking. I couldn't.
No, you're right. You. And I knew when you could see us because for a second you looked nauseous. And I'm like, yep, the video's working. She
you're
can
like,
see
it. And she's in.
How you been? We haven't spoken to you since your last fight, which I feel you handled as well as anybody can handle. You handled that like a champ.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? It's part of the game, you know? Right? You see it like there's fights almost like every weekend. You see it happen to everyone. So it's. You know, I can't really sit around and have a pity party. It's, you know, one's got to win, one's got to lose.
And I'll tell you, Caitlin, that's one thing different from the fights now and back when I was fighting, because there was less fights. Mm-hmm. So people would talk about fucking George seeing me in a fucking fetal position for like, oh, that lasted for like 6 months until the next card. Yeah. You guys, you lose a fight, people talk about it for a few hours, and then there's a fight the next weekend. Well, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's kind of better.
Yeah, it definitely just shows you you got to move on, and it's not that important because a week after there's another card and then no one's talking about it, which kind of sucks when you win too.
Yeah.
You win and then like a week later someone else gets like a crazy win and then no one remembers your fight anymore. So it's good if you're on the negative side of it.
Was fighting Valentina, was there anything that you didn't expect? Or, you know, a lot of times when there's such a big name and you're fighting such a reputation fighter, it's different when you get into the cage, I'm sure. What exactly was it like with her compared to what you expected?
I think it was like everything I expected. I mean, everything we kind of talked about. I remember kind of being in there and like the end of the first round and being like, oh, this is exactly what we thought would happen. Like, you know, there's a lot of like tape on her, you see it, and like you can compare her to other fighters and stuff, and like everything that was there was, you know, that I experienced was kind of what I was expecting and what we talked about. Just unfortunately got stuck in a bad place, and it was a better night for her.
Now, you're a nicer person than me. In a perfect scenario,
you could say that to anybody, Matt.
Jimmy, in a perfect scenario, because you're fighting her sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is amazing. So, who gets a chance to do that? In a perfect scenario, are you, like, mounted on her, just hitting her and looking over to the corner saying, you made me do this? Like, that kind of shit? Or no? Or you're just taking it out of it. She's not even related to it. You're not even thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even related to me. It's like, you know, they're totally different fighters and everything. It was funny because when I was, like, a week before, like, the whole quarantine and everything happened, I was in Vegas getting some rehab and I saw her sister in like the locker room and I was like, hey, I'm here all week. Like no one's, you know, all the girls that are training here at the PI, like no one really wants to like train with me. So I was like, I know you have a fight coming up. I was like, if you want to train or whatever, I'm here all week. I was like, she was just like, nice. She was like, okay, yeah. She's probably thinking like, yeah, no, I'm not training with you. But I was like, it's worth the try. I'm here all week. You know, and then it was funny because then like a couple weeks later, then her opponent pulled out and I ended up taking the fight. So, but yeah, it's just another opponent. I mean, I think the whole saying like fighting her sister sounds good for like, you know, fans. Sure. And it's kind of like a little bit of a story, but it's just another fighter in the division.
Has that happened yet though? Like I'm sure somebody has fought a Nick and Nate, but back to back, has anybody fought a siblings back to back?
I saw a tweet today that was like the first girl to ever fight two female sisters in a row. I was like, well, I don't know how many female sisters there are fighting. Yeah. I don't know how crazy it is, but yeah, I mean, you know, within 3 months, it's pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Antonina Shevchenko. I'm just so we don't keep calling her sister. I mean, cause she's dangerous in her own right. How much are you watching a lot of? Do you watch a lot of the tape, or you have your coaches do that?
My coaches watch a little bit more than me, but I definitely watch them. As soon as you know I take a fight, then I watch all the fights. You know, I probably have like seen her fight when it was on, but it's different when you actually like are gonna fight the person. Then you go back and look at it. So yeah, I watch tapes. I mean, everyone's like, "Well, you just fought. She does this different than her sister." I'm like, they're totally different fighters. You know, they're. Don't like they're both lefty and they're sisters. That's pretty much it. I mean, she's just kind of just mostly striker, whereas Valentina is obviously great everywhere.
How are you dealing with the whole quarantine thing? Yeah. Is it how is that on a night? Because I know you're a newlywed pretty much still. Is that what you said? Yeah. How's that?
It's good. He got bonus points. Like last summer, he wanted to turn our garage into a gym, and I was kind of like, I don't know if we need it. And he ended up doing it. So now during this quarantine, I was like, you were right. Good thing you pushed that.
Now, you can't get weights right now. Oh, sorry, Matt. You can't get it like Bowflex or any of this shit that I'd love to order. No one has it.
Yeah, I know. That's why for us, we've been pretty lucky. And like, it's kind of nice. Like our neighbors have been like, so walking by our garage when we're working out, they're like, oh, that's cool. What do you got going on there? They like want to come in and start working out. So yeah, that's definitely been very helpful for this. But I mean, other than that, I mean, you figure it out. If you have a fight and you want to train and you have to, then, you know, you figure it out. I got kind of lucky because I trained with Sajara Eubanks and Claudia Gadea, and they fought last week or 2 weeks ago. So they were in camp when I got the call for this fight. So that kind of happened. That made it a lot easier.
Close fight with Claudia and Angela Hill the other day.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Bias. What's the matter? You think that's not a clue? What do you think? You thought that?
It was a close fight, but I wasn't nervous going to the decisions.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought Angela won that one.
Claudia won rounds 1 and 3, and then round 2, I was like, oh, well, she got the knockdown, so she won round 2. But if the knockdown didn't happen, that round could have gone pretty much either way.
Claudia, if I remember it right, and again, didn't she turn it on at the end of round 3? Like, wasn't Angela? Again, my memory could be flawed, but wasn't she dominating the round and then or striking a lot better in the round, and then at the end, kind of Claudia turned it up a little bit?
I don't know. I think the whole fight was kind of like the battle between, like, you know, what's more important, like 3 volume punches or 1 power punch type of thing, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, even that, I don't have the answer for that. You know, sometimes I'm in fights where, like, you know, I'm in close decisions and they're like, oh, they definitely won. Look at the significant strikes. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I bet they were like a couple like inside low kicks. And meanwhile, like their face was completely busted up. So it's like, which one? Yeah. You can't really go by significant strikes, like, because that doesn't really tell you anything.
And just to say, I just started this thing off of saying it was a close fight. It was a close fight. I didn't say
it was a close fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. But also, this is how my memory works. Jimmy, you want a fucking Bowflex?
Yeah.
No.
Hey, Caitlin, everything he could have said, hey, I want some dumbbells.
I was like, that's not sold out. They just don't make it anymore.
No, there's Bowflex weights. They're just dumbbells that you can change the weight on. Not the whole system. I don't want a whole system. I just want the Bowflex weights, the dumbbells.
I seen that when I can't get to sleep at 2:30 in the morning on the fucking TV.
Yeah.
What are you going to order next? The fucking Solo Flex?
I want the Chuck Norris workout machine. No, but these Bowflex are great because you have 2 little dumbbells set, and they're adjustable weights from like 12 or 10 up to 50. Yeah. So you can get a very full workout with just 2 Bowflex dumbbells. There's a whole system, which I don't want.
Well,
you could also just order like ankle weights or something for your...
I have those, but I just don't use them. I have them. I don't like them.
Yeah.
I smell new sponsorship, Jimmy.
Bowflex.
What do you... Hey, listen, we'll get back to the fight and shit in a second. What are you watching? What are you streaming as a couple? Do you guys watch stuff together or no? No,
separate.
That's so funny.
Yeah. We just because I don't know. Like, my husband doesn't really... He just likes to watch shows that he's seen already, so he doesn't have to pay attention. So we watch, like... With him, it's like Shark Tank. Like, yeah. Like, we've seen this episode 40 times. And he's not like, Ozark? Yeah, like, I just started watching Ozark, and then I was like... halfway through season 2, and I saved it for this week.
I've never seen a full episode of Shark Tank, by the way. Everybody loves this show so much. I've never seen a full episode.
Wait. Yeah, well, it's good, but after the 30th time, you get it.
You're done, yeah.
I don't want to be ignorant, but Shark Tank, there's different things. I think Shark Week has nothing to do with sharks.
No, they're businessmen. Do you want to explain to Caitlin? You probably see more than
Mark Cuban? Mark Cuban's
yes,
on there?
There you go. Right. Diamond Dash.
Shark Week.
Yeah.
Let's get back to fighting.
Yeah.
Like the Sharks and the Jets? No. It's not West Side Stories.
I just started before, and I had to like stop it. I just started the Jeffrey Epstein documentary on Netflix.
Today that starts, right?
Yeah. So I had to pause it because you guys called. It was like, fuck, I'm really into this.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
Is it good?
Yeah. I've been like 1 episode. There's 4 episodes, so it's pretty good.
It's funny how they get 10 episodes or 8 episodes of the Tiger King, but can only get 4 on Epstein.
Yeah. I'm only like 2003 right now.
Oh, okay. So is there 4 total?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hotel. That's actually nice. Like the little door there. So it's obviously a couple of rooms. They give you a nice room.
Yeah. They have like a suite. We have a full kitchen and everything, but we just like can't leave the hotel. So
you guys flew out now. When you know how important it is to stay healthy before the fight, when do you fly out? What precautions are you taking before getting on a plane? And how full is your flight?
So I flew out yesterday, Tuesday. That was just when we could. The only issue was there's no like direct flights from like New York New Jersey, Philadelphia.
To Vegas?
Yeah. So I had to fly from Vegas to LA, have a 4-hour layover, and then go to Vegas. So it was that was kind of crazy. Annoying. But the flights were kind of full. Like I would say 70% full.
Everybody's wearing a mask.
Yeah. Everyone's wearing
a mask. How healthy is that? That you got to be flying, breathing in your own carbon dioxide and shit.
I try not to think about it. I like to kind of live in la la land and be like, everything's great. It's not a big deal. So I don't worry about it. But I mean, we get tested when we get here. My biggest fear was I was more nervous for the test when I got here than the fight, because I'm like, wait, what if I get to Vegas and I'm asymptomatic, I test positive. I'm like, am I going to be stuck there for 2 weeks? I won't be able to just get on a plane and fly home. And I flew here by myself. So I was like, I don't want to be stuck here by myself for 2 weeks, quarantined. So I got the first test and I was like, so I'm good. They're like, oh yeah, you're good. I was like, oh, thank God.
That's great.
People, I understand the mask. You got people go afraid of the germs and stuff. I seen a thing on the news the other day of a girl in Staten Island, a lady. She didn't have a mask on. It looked, you ever see that old movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah.
When they're just like, they make a weird noise. Maybe not like that. Caitlin is an old movie. But listen, you know when the people turn into these clones and zombies, when they just look and they just point to someone that's not a zombie? It was fucking... It was weird. They almost like attacked this lady. They're all yelling at her. Ah, people got to calm the fuck down with that, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's sometimes I'm I wouldn't wear one, but I'm going to wear one so people don't I just don't want any confrontation. I mean, here in the hotel, we have to wear it, that we were told if we don't wear, and we got tested, but it's more from the health commission than the UFC. But if we don't wear it, then our fight gets scratched. We get caught not wearing it.
Wow.
I was like, And your cornerman. So I was like, telling my cornerman, I was like, put your mask on. Don't take it off.
Yeah, you got to wear it. I mean, I hear on flights, it's probably awkward. How is the flight crew dressed? Because I've seen photos. I don't know what airline. It might have been in Dubai or something, where they were literally wearing hazmat suits. How was the flight? Do they at least have masks on, the attendants?
Yeah, the masks. They just had masks and they had gloves on, and they just gave us when they come around for drinks, they just give you, when you walk on the plane, they give you a Purell wipe. So you could wipe your seat down, I guess. And then they get, when they come around for drinks, they just give you a plastic bag and they just throw it at you. There's Cheez-Its and a water bottle in there.
Inside the plastic bag. Okay.
Yeah.
We're making do. We're getting back to normal. It's slow. I mean, let's be honest. That's shitty service on the airline. So, things are moving back to normal. That's probably how they're going to keep it too. You know how much the airline loves they can just throw a bag with Cheez-Its and water and go, here you go. That's going to stay. Long after this is over, that will stay.
Yeah, of course. But I noticed when I got to Vegas at the airport, there was people in the airport without masks. It didn't seem there wasn't, all the airports were kind of empty. It didn't seem as intense, but in JFK and LA, every single person had a mask on.
Is it weird going through security like that? Do they make you take it down for a second to look at your ID?
Yeah, when we go to they're like, you have to take your mask off. I'm like, take it down, put it, and they're like, all right, put it back on. I was like, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
But it was nice that, I mean, JFK, driving to JFK and flying out there with no traffic, I was like,
right,
this is pretty nice.
Yeah, that is cool. But man, I just don't like the whole, it feels so controlling, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, I understand they got to take precautions for the fight, But
yeah,
shit, you feel like you're sequestered, no?
I'm scared I'm going to make a mistake just because I forgot something. Sorry, I have my mind on something else. I didn't think about this, they're pretty strict with it. Wet Friday morning, we weigh in, and after weigh-ins, we get retested. And then after that, we come back to our hotel. So Friday, 11 a.m., we come back to our hotel, and we're not allowed to leave until we go to the fight. So I was like, yes, we're going to Vegas. Restaurants are open. I'm like, oh, that'll be so nice. They're like, yeah, after you get tested the second time, after weigh-ins, they're like, you're not allowed to, no one, you and your cornermen aren't allowed to leave the hotel until they shuttle you to the fight.
Well, you could always go Sunday or a Saturday after the fight. I mean, you could always go after that.
Looking for it. I was like, oh, I want to go to a restaurant after weigh-ins. They're like, no, we'll give you food. We're like,
it's weird. You know why? Because it also is things, Jimmy, as like a fighter or even cornering guys, you need sometimes, when you're just constantly zoned into the fight, that's sometimes not the best thing. Sometimes it's good to get your mind off it when you got the work put in. And you know what could take that away is when you you guys go to get a bite to eat, or you guys even would rage an owl. We had like a routine in Vegas where, like, after weigh-ins, the night before the fight, we'd all go to see a movie somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, you know what I mean? So it's all things that it just changes things up. So,
yeah,
you know,
we have to like get our temperature taken every time we go somewhere. And then I was like at a scare yesterday because I went to they let us go for here and then to the PI. And when I went to, sorry, UFC's calling me, I have to get my temperature taken. So I go to the PI, they take our temperature. It's funny because they put like the gun right to your head and it takes your temperature. And I was like, okay. And then they did it. And they're like, you're 100. And I was like, what? I was like, well, I just sat outside. Like, it's 110 degrees outside. I was sitting outside in long pants for, you know, 15, 20 minutes waiting for our Uber. So that's probably why. So there I was, but it was still, then they waited like 5 minutes, took it again. And then it went down. But for that first second, I was like, my heart dropped. I'm like, why does it say I have 100-degree fever? Because I was like, maybe from traveling, I don't know. I was like, but then I was like, no, I literally was just sitting in the 110 degree sun for this whole time.
It's good you thought of that though, like, to say that. I'm sure they would have checked you again, because that probably is happening to a lot of people there. But I'm glad you're able to fight. And I know it sucks, all this stuff, but hey, for UFC to be a combat sport and still be the first sport back is pretty amazing. I mean, you know, MMA is so hands-on, as I know, due to my training. The fact that they are able to be the first sport back is very impressive. So these inconveniences, I'm sure, are worth it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many people out there that can't work, or, you know, that are like, you know, my parents have my parents and my brother both own small businesses, and they're really, you know, this is hitting them pretty hard. I mean, I can't really complain about, oh, I can't go to a restaurant after weigh-ins. Like, I'm able to work, you know, and this whole, there's so many people that are like, don't have that option. So just making a few little changes to be able to do it is a small sacrifice.
Yeah, man, shit. I know how that is with the businesses, but glass is always half full. Yeah. I have something to bring up now, and I don't want, listen, Caitlin, you know me, I don't like drama. But it has something to do with our little Jimmy Bird here. Now, listen, I don't know if you, I don't know if you heard, and I don't want you to take offense to this, but he, and I know he's been promising you forever, yo, I'm going to train. When I do train, Caitlin, it'll be with you. Like, he says, I'm paraphrasing, but this is you know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? He decided to start training, and he didn't tell me, he didn't train with you. He trained with a good man, Jimmy Rivera, dangerous UFC fighter, great person. Great trainer, I'm sure.
Close to my house.
Hold on a second, Whoa. Jimmy. I'm trying to say that you promised our good friend Caitlin that if you were going to train, I don't know. I just wanted to leave that out there. It just came to me.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's been just like lies and disappointments for probably like 2-3 years now. So I'm honestly not surprised.
Well, honestly, if it's been lies and disappointment, then everyone I've ever dated can say that's exactly what it's like to spend time with Jim. It's lies and it's disappointment. However, I started training and I did think of you because I'm like, we can now do it because I've already gotten into that process. You might've been getting ready for a fight. What's that?
So you're not so scared.
Yeah, like I like it a lot. It was kickboxing and I was starting to go into jiu-jitsu. I wanted to do jiu-jitsu, but then this whole thing happened. So I just, I actually reached out and tried to do a couple of, but it was just by then everything was shutting down. So yeah, I love it.
Well, 30th Street, I know it's pretty far for you, but.
I can make it over.
Maybe you could walk to 30th Street.
I like it. A little sarcasm there.
No, she's right. She's right. Lies and disappointment. It is the Jim Norton story.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to bring up that you were training.
Yeah. I appreciate you letting me know the details on that.
Yeah. And I want to train once with Caitlin as well. I know that you're busy though. You're actively fighting. So I don't like to bother people and, you know.
After Saturday, I'm not in fight camp. So.
Okay.
My buddy Ryan LaFleur doing?
Good. I've actually been like working with, you know, we hang out a lot. We're really good friends. And then for this fight, just because of like, you know, with training and all gyms not being open and stuff, I've actually been working with him a little bit for this fight. So it's the first time I've like, you know, hit pads. One day I was like, hey, are you free? Would you mind doing pads with me? And he's like, yeah. And then we kind of just like had a good vibe of training going, and we were kind of doing it, me, him, and then Kyle would be there. We kind of did that about once a week for this fight. So worked on a lot of good stuff with him.
And your husband's a stud wrestler, but is he doing jiu-jitsu too? He does, right? Or no?
Yeah, he trains jiu-jitsu for fun. Yeah. He was helping a lot of the guys at Henzo's for ADCC with wrestling. So then, wow, you know, kind of helped because he just started jiu-jitsu, and then he was like, you know, they wanted to use him for wrestling. So he kind of got a little extra attention for jiu-jitsu. So yeah, he definitely enjoys it. He trains as much as he can.
How come he didn't come out there? Is it tough to do at home, or did you guys just not like to travel together? Or is it easier for you to go by yourself to fight?
Well, we could only have cornermen come, and he doesn't corner me. So yeah, this will be like the first, he usually comes like, you know, later in the week, Thursday or something. But yeah, this will be like the first fight that he does that he's not here. Cause I mean, he couldn't, if he wasn't cornering, you can't be in the hotel. And then, so it was like, you know,
I didn't think of that. Okay.
We didn't even get our flights booked till like Saturday, so it was kind of all craziness.
Well, I'm happy you're there, and well, definitely let's talk afterwards. Fighting Antonina Shevchenko this Saturday night, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, we love watching you.
Awesome, thank you,
Kaylee. Right, good talking to you. Okay,
all right, sounds good. Bye.
Sorry I'm late. I got caught up in the space launch. It is a comedy of errors over there right now.
Oh, no. I forgot that was today. This is Elon Musk's thing, right?
Yeah, I guess we paid him like $130 million to use SpaceX, and we got two astronauts going up into the sky, but they're doing an unveiling on Twitter. There's new space suits, Jim. You're going to have to die. I mean, it is
Star Trek? Comedy of
errors. Huh?
The space suits? What were you saying? Like, they look
There's new space costumes. You know, back in the day, they had that big thing. Now it looks like a modified motocross helmet.
It sounds like The Expanse. If you ever seen The Expanse on Amazon Prime, that's what it's like. The Star Trek type shit. That's wild. I gotta see that.
So Pat, why are you saying it's a mess? Are there things fucking up?
The one astronaut dropped something out of his pocket in the middle of the spaceship as soon as he got in there. The one guy got in too early. There's a couple of ninjas running around wearing all black suits that are like setting everything up. I mean, it is waiting to get mocked, but I apologize for being late.
That's okay, man. I'm actually very interested in that. So they're sending it now. He's going to be doing like civilian, like tourist stuff in space, right? That's kind of the goal of this.
Well, he's going to the space station. It's the first time we've launched humans into space from America since 2011. I guess we've been using the Russians.
Right.
We're paying them like $160 million or something every time we do it. So now they're utilizing Elon's SpaceX to take off. Elon gets broken off. And it's so interesting. Like, what's going on up there? We got a Space Force cooking now, Jim. We got UFOs being legitimized by the Pentagon. I mean, what the fuck is going on?
Dude, the UFOs, that story, the fact that that's not all we're talking about, the Pentagon released footage that the Navy filmed, and they go, well, this is legit. They won't say it's from outer space, but they are saying these are real photo videos, and it's obviously something that the fucking pilots can't identify. It's crazy.
Haven't even talked about it since, by the way. Kind of happened, just see you later. No big deal. And we've seen those same videos on the internet before, right? Anybody that's been on the internet has seen those videos, but you always thought, maybe it's Photoshop. When the Pentagon comes out, we have no idea what these are. And here's five of them, by the way. It's insane stuff. But I can't thank you enough for having me on this show, boys. Excited to chat.
Yeah, and it was funny, Pat. We interviewed Angela Hill, who's a fighter we love. And it turns out her grandfather, I don't know how familiar with UFO lore you are, but her grandfather was Barney Hill, of Betty and Barney Hill, the very famous couple that was taken on a UFO, interracial couple in the 60s. It's one of the most famous abduction cases. So we just talked to her about that.
I mean, it'd be insane to be, imagine that. I assume they have the Men in Black thing where you don't remember it if you do get abducted. So
comes out of hypnosis, yeah.
Yeah, that old thing. But man, I've been waiting. I'd enjoy the conversation with whatever decided to abduct me. I'm just here to learn about it. Now we got two spacemen going up there right now. Maybe they'll tell us a little bit more.
But I don't think an alien would talk to us. Like, literally, they probably just hold you down. They probe your asshole, throw you out, and wipe the memory. They don't seem to be very friendly. Or it's like the way we treat an animal is how they treat us. They don't seem happy to talk to us or to learn from us, you know?
Bringing up your wet dreams, Jimmy, on this show.
Yeah, but what if they view me like a dog or something, you know? Like, what if I find a nice alien that thinks of me as like a pet and is very nice to me and feeds me and stuff? I mean,
maybe it treats you with affection and love, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, we never know. And I assume that there's white trash aliens out there, too, on some planet that can't get to us. You know, not smart enough to get to us. I assume there's some of those out there. It all depends on who you run into. You know what I mean?
Now, Pat, are you in? I know you were on Barstool, but now you got your own thing going. Where can people hear your show? Is it just your podcast?
Yeah. So my podcast is Pat McAfee Show 2.0, and it is the highlights and basically the entire run through of my daily show, which is live 10 to noon Eastern Standard Time at my YouTube page and on some Westwood and CBS sports radio stations. So there's a lot of me, too much of me. To be honest, after this interview, people will probably be done with me for at least a week or two.
People love you, dude. Like, you went for, I remember we watched you do stand-up. There was some stand-up video. And then you started your thing and everybody loves you. Like, you literally just went from, oh, let's see how he does. And you know, like, you're one of the biggest guys now. It's crazy how fast you've risen and how much people really like you.
That means a lot. Not everybody. I'm not for everybody. And I very much understand that, though, which I think is a big thing you have to have if you're going to get into the media world. It's like, hey, there's going to be some people that just don't like you. And there's a good chance, by the way, that the people that don't like me, I probably wouldn't get along with them either, right? So that's kind of how I frame it in my mind. But I'm very thankful for you saying that. And I got a good group of humans that follow me. I'm very lucky for the people on my social medias and my show and shit like that. But there's definitely some people that are not fans. And to them, I very much understand. I would probably hate me too in situations. But I'm enjoying it, saying dumb things, and just trying to keep up with the likes of you guys and the incredible Sammy Brand Muffins.
Hey, do you I want to ask you a question as a kicker, because I don't know if I've ever actually gotten to ask a kicker this. When they try to ice you, like, you know, Matt doesn't really watch football, but what they'll do is, like, when it's time to kick a field goal at the end of the game, the other team calls a timeout, they're trying to ice the kicker. Now that you don't do it anymore, does that have any effect on the kicker at all?
So I kicked field goals in college, and I got iced by the refs like 3 times. Like, there was an offsetting penalty, and then that whole thing. You know, it was my first time ever really experiencing it. And then later in my career, you get it from coaches and stuff like that. And then in the NFL, I got a chance to hold for Adam Vinatieri, the greatest kicker of all time. And for him, each kick was its own little operation anyway. So if somebody called a timeout, he would delay his mindset, his focus, his dial in. So I think the stats prove that it doesn't matter, like, if you ice somebody or not. But I'd assume there's maybe a kicker out there that might get in its head, maybe paralysis by analysis or something like that. But I think anybody that's worth a damn, it doesn't matter. It's just you're delaying the inevitable here. He's either going to make it or miss it. It's one or the other. And I don't think the timeout really does anything. And I think stats back up that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Watch, if I don't handle pressure well. So I think that's the most amazing thing to me about professional athletes is the ability to handle the pressure. I just collapse and give up. So the fact that guys can actually face that and succeed is, it never stops fascinating.
Hey, you guys, know, as a total noob, don't look at me as less of a man, please, Pat. I used to fight in a cage, but I don't watch anything with a ball. So what the fuck is ice mean? You're pausing shit?
You're scaring. You're making the, yeah, Pat, you explain it.
You're trying to make somebody overthink something. So for kicking, for a specialist position in football, you're kicking a ball, right? So it's very much you, yourself, in the ball. That's your only – like, whenever offensive positions are getting ready for a football game, they're preparing for what the defense is going to strategize again. Like a fight, you probably are preparing like, okay, this guy's more of a mauler, so you're preparing for that. You have an actual opponent. Whenever you're a kicker or a punter, your opponent is the ball. It's you and the ball. And when you're a golfer, it's you and the ball. When you're a pitcher, it's you and the ball. So it's just like a completely different realm of things. So whenever when your competition legitimately is your own self-thoughts and your own execution, if you give somebody a little bit more time to think about it in the icing situation where coaches will call timeouts right before a kick to make you overthink it, to make you keep thinking to see if you can pull it off. That's kind of the thought of the whole thing. And to be honest, if guys make it to the NFL, they're probably pretty good in between the years to begin with, so it's not really going to affect anything. But it kind of took over the world there for a little bit because it gives a coach a chance to act like there's some gamesmanship. There's a little bit of a fast time out before the kick, and it really got hot there for a bit. But I think stats show it doesn't really affect things that much. And by the way, the ability to step into a cage and flip that switch, that is something that I could never accomplish. That is something that my brain would never allow me to do. Jim here was obviously being very humble and saying that he could never do anything under pressure. He does stand up. He does live radio shows. He does very well. So he can handle pressure in different fashions than athletes have to handle pressure in different fashions. But that ability to get into a cage and know that there's a human potentially trying to kill you, that's something that a brain is – that's a special, special individual that has to do that.
Now, do you do any – martial arts training at all? I mean, you're athletic and you're a former football player. Do you do any like jujitsu or anything? You might want to try it, man. It's not like you have to want to be a killer. Even Jimmy's training now.
Which I started. Well, yeah.
I would like to see Jimmy in there roll a little bit. So Matt Matrione and Chris Weidel are from Indianapolis, right? So, and they're friends of the show. And indie boxing and grappling is this. I mean, it is a pit that they have that is – it's a house, basically, that they rent out in not a great part of Indianapolis. And you go in there, and it's an entire – take your shoes off. They got mats everywhere. They got bags hanging. They do that. Yeah. For a couple of weeks, I was going in there. And then one day in a rolling sesh where it was, like, minute-long rounds, and then people would switch who they were rolling with or whatever, I got linked up with Mitrione, and – he made me tap out 9 times in a minute. And I was just like, well, I don't think I'm fucking coming back here ever again. And I have so much respect for it. I don't think I appreciated the amount of chess that's going on in there.
Yeah.
Like Mitrione would dig his finger into my like rib cage here. So I would move like this. And as soon as I move like this, he would sneak his arm. Like he's like moving. He's manipulating my body the entire time. He broke both of my arms in one hold at one point. He was in a double arm bar. And I think that was the day I was like, all right, probably shouldn't come back to this. This is not my thing.
And Chris Lytle, Chris Lytle, I spent 6 weeks in a house with and 30 minutes fighting him in a cage. We fought twice. He was my last fight. Thank him for this scar, please, right here. 50 stitches.
He has a black eye. He has a black eye every day. He still trains. He still trains. He says he has to. So, he feels as if he, has to do it. So, there's probably a good chance that this morning, whenever this show comes out, the morning of this, he was in there sparring with somebody, whether it's boxing. He was originally a boxer, and then got into mixed martial arts. And he's the only guy, I think, in UFC history to have over 30 fights and never be knocked out or submitted. He's just like Homer Simpson in there. Like, hey, he's going to go, and he's going to have at it. Yeah. He was a lot of fun to work with and an incredibly nice guy. But that son of a bitch loves getting punched in the face. I mean,
I punched him a bunch and he didn't go nowhere. Chris is such a great, great guy. And he's actually such a nice guy. When he says that he needs it, the training, I think that's how he has to exercise his demons. Cause if you see him, he's just as like a sweetheart of a guy. So nice. But dude, I'm telling you, one of the toughest guys I ever fought. And such a good guy.
He's a fireman. He's a fireman. He's a good family man. Nice guy. And then you get him in there and he flips that switch. The thing that I don't know how you guys do it. And then there was a time there where a guy that was working for us at the time, his name was Sean, he was training for a Rough and Rowdy fight whenever we were with Barstool. So I was training with him a little bit and they'd go into any boxing, grappling and things like that. And Lytle one day was like, okay, I'm going to train you how to box. Yeah. Right? He's like, I want to box with you. So I'm sitting there, and he's throwing these just wild punches, like trying to show me that a punch is coming. Right? So I'm like dodging him a little bit. And he was like, okay, you're doing good. Now let's get after it or whatever. And I'm like, no. Right? So he started playing bongos with my face or whatever. And he told me that one of the main things I had to do is I got to get used to getting hit without like a full flinch reaction. Okay, it's going to happen. Like not every punch is going to take you out. You just got to do it. And I think I was getting okay with it there for a little bit. But if I was to get back into that thing, I'm flinching, I'm crying the entire time. And Lytle, such a gentleman, but you know that if he was to get it, he's the guy you want. If you just so happen to get in something, that guy is just ready to go at all times.
But most of them are nice guys. The guys I've talked to, besides obviously Matt, they're all nice. I don't think I've talked to any of them who are dicks. Like it's like there's such a level of confidence and the ability to just strangle anybody in the room. They're all, they have all the certain humility. Rogan raised a good point. He said it's because they get tapped a lot in the gym. Like, no matter how good you are, you're training with someone who is going to tap you at times, and there's a constant humbling. And he just said that they're very humble for that reason. And it made a lot of sense. He was talking about the way they train is one reason the fighters are so humble.
Well, I was humbled in there. I mean, I was not that I was going in there with any confidence right. at all when I walked in there. I mean, that's not something where that's like my world. Every once in a while, you'd be a little bit intoxicated and get into a bar brawl or whatever. But then whenever you watch these guys and women who have this incredible ability to just calculate things in yeah. the middle of chaos and then yeah. bang, be able to pull it off with somebody smothering their face too. Like, I was getting claustrophobic with them laying on my – I mean, it just – the ability, it's an incredible sport, honestly. It's – and I don't think I had as much respect for it until I got in there.
Yeah,
and sure. did that. And then whenever I was in there, I was like, damn, like the amount of calculation and reaction and athleticism that it takes to do this is next level. And ever since – that was like 3-4 years ago. And ever since then, I'm like, okay, whole new level of respect. And you're right. The amount of like almost Zen that a lot of guys have. And they're like Buddhist. It feels like you're talking almost Buddha, like the life – the way they view life and everything, it's pretty immaculate. And it's surprising because when that cage door shuts and somebody's knocked out, the thing that I love, and it's not great for humanity, obviously, but Matt, I'll ask you this question. When somebody's knocked out, you have to pounce on top to finish this thing? Like, what is that?
I'll bring up my Frank Trigg fight. All right. Now, look, with the Frank Trigg, because this guy, this is a fight I don't bring up often, but yeah. I knocked him down. Like, in my mindset, when I remember with that fight connecting with him, and I saw him drop, and I knew he was hurt. It wasn't like, oh, let me just hurt him some more. It was all instinct. But when I went on top and unloaded another 3 or 4 until the ref jumped in, the second the ref jumps in, it's like, thank God it's over. It's like, now he can't hurt me. It's over. I ended it. They can't start it again. It's over. Because it's not fear like, oh, my God. But it's like, I can end it right now. If I don't, and now he's up, and now he's looking to hurt me, and I don't have as much in the tank, which happened to me in prior fights with Carol Parisian, and you just put too much on the offense when you think somebody's hurt. It's almost like doing a sprint. And then next thing you know, the finish line's nowhere near there. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, wow.
Right.
So when you see the chance, when I knocked down Frank Trigg, Jimmy, I saw, it's like I had like a scope on his chin and I wanted to keep hitting it. And it wasn't out of malice, you know, it wasn't out of I hate him, you know, which I didn't really like him. But, you know, it could really fuck with you. When I had to fight Chris Lytle, we fought twice at the end of The Ultimate Fighter. And it was a very close fight and he went to me and it was 30-27, all 3 cards. It could have went to either guy. It was one of those weird ones. It was kind of lackluster because we had so much online for a shot at the title. So when I fought him again, the last fight, it was nothing but a slugfest. Why the fuck would I bring that up?
Because you like him. Fighting, yes, it was weird. You why. Like him.
He know, Pat, he knows me, Pat. That's why.
Yeah, it happens to me too, by the way. This is very normal, I think. Probably not for Dan, but it happens to me too.
We're going to get along great. But he was such a nice guy. When I had to sign to fight him for the second time, I'm like, I got to fight him in his hometown. For an instant, I'm like, dude, my best day there will be his worst day in his family. It fucks with you. Where, if it's a guy like Frank Trigg, I mean, you could smack the guy for nothing. So it does make it, if mentally, it does play a difference there because your opponent's not a ball. It's a human being. So it's weird.
I could literally fathom that though. Like if, because there seems to be a lot of respect amongst a lot of fighters. Yeah. It seems to be a big part of the sport is the respect for the sport, respect yeah. for your opponent and everything like that. But then you're doing so much abuse to them. The goal is to do as yeah. much abuse to them as you possibly can. It's such an interesting thing. And that's why the brains, like that capability to do that is such a special thing.
Did yeah. you hear Pat, or maybe Matt, you heard this too. Someone said that Tyson, like I've heard him say, I'm back. Like I've seen the footage and there's a lot of footage of Mike throwing hook punches and showing Ngannou how to throw punches and just showing himself training. Is he fighting bare knuckle? Have you heard that? I've someone said he was training for something bare knuckle. He got offered a lot of money, but I don't know if that's true.
So a $20 million contract offer was presented to him by the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship.
Right? Oh, okay.
And there's no way they have that money. That's just money that they're assuming they'll be able to make if they sell pay-per-view with Mike Tyson. If I'm Mike Tyson, though, I'm doing the Floyd Mayweather model. I am selling my own fight pay-per-view-wise because I didn't grow up in the Tyson era, right? So the only thing I really know about Tyson is rabbit holes on YouTube of him just slaughtering people's faces with his refrigerator hands, right? Like, that's all I know. So the thought of him getting back into this thing, yeah, I am very excited about. I guess Tyson Fury said that at one point, people reach out to him to say, would you want to fight Mike Tyson in an exhibition fight? And Tyson Fury said, he said, absolutely, but that never materialized. I want Tyson to just knock out regular Joes. Like, yeah, just, you know what I mean? Just have them line up, have Tyson's, they, people that think they can beat up Mike Tyson at 53, just have them knock him out. Next person come in. I'll pay pay-per-view for that for sure.
I don't want to see him get hurt. Like, I really love Tyson, and I don't want to see him, like, fighting other guys, you're right. But fight a professional guy like Tyson Fury, who's a lot younger, you know, I don't want to see Mike Tyson get hurt.
He's like a foot taller than him, too.
He's a giant guy, yes.
Matt, that's a big deal, right? I mean, reach and everything like that in boxing.
At that level, 100%. The thing with this, with Mike Tyson, everybody's talking about, and I understand because he looks amazing getting the pads. He looks amazing. But a couple of things. He's not – how old – he started when he – when did Customato take him on? When he was 14 or something?
Yeah. And there was he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. When I think he was 18, and it said Kid Dynamite.
Listen, man, he's going to do that for another 10 years. He's going to look like, oh, man, look at him at 60. Look what he can do. He's got muscle memory. I mean, that's embedded in him, you know, as an athlete. And he had that as a young age. So, I mean, I think he's going to look good no matter what. You're not seeing the guy in there with another guy. You're not seeing him have to deal with adversity and getting hit. And I don't want to see. If you put him in a fight with, I don't know, like someone around his age, like, and like at a bare knuckle thing's different because it's probably gonna be more violent and quick. Like, but a boxing match versus a younger guy,
Tyson Fury.
Yeah, fuck that. No, I wouldn't want to see that. I mean, because. I mean, I don't want to see him get hurt. The guy is 53.
Yeah.
Hey, and I wish I'd known more about the Gypsy King, too. I didn't think I knew enough about Tyson Fury until that Deontay Wilder second fight there. What an entertaining fighter.
Personality.
Yeah.
Well, just the way he fights. It's just he picked Deontay Wilder apart, obviously. And Deontay Wilder said that 40-pound thing that he wore to the ring wore him out or whatever, but like that was fun to watch. There's only a certain amount of people that can make boxing interesting, right? And that is a real fact. That's just you have to have a little bit of a personality. You have to have a little bit of Floyd Mayweather's been able to do it because everybody wants to see him lose.
Yeah.
But I feel like I missed that Tyson era where the entire world was just waiting for Tyson and for him to show up on Saturday night. Every celebrity on earth was sitting around the ring, and that thing could have been over 10 seconds in there. I'm not sure we'll ever see that again, obviously, because he's 53 years old. But, man, it would be cool to see one more go where he just beats the dog shit out of someone.
I remember where I was the first time he lost. It's crazy. It's like I remember who told me when he lost to Buster Douglas, which was such a giant upset. I remember where I was and being like, I couldn't believe he had lost. I couldn't believe it was like, you know, it was like watching Jordan miss a free throw, you know, especially to a guy like Buster Douglas, who he was heavily favored over. So yeah, he captured something. Towards the end, he lost a few fights, and you know, I love the guy so much. I don't want to see him go in and do something just for money. Unless this guy's of a certain age, though, if it's guys over 40, I would like to see.
I'll say this: I watch every pay-per-view that UFC has. I'll watch every boxing one that has just because I'm so intrigued by the mindset to go in there and do battle with somebody else. Like, I'm very intrigued by that. But whenever you know somebody's going to put on a good fight, man, there's nothing better than that feeling. Like, hey, this is going to be a good fight. Like that first card that Dana said coming back out of his quarantine, he was like, hey, this is the best card we've had. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And then you turn on, it's like, hey, this is the best card I have ever seen. That's a big fight. Matchmaker is a big deal, like putting on good fights, I'd assume. And let's hope Tyson does that.
Did you see the Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje fight?
Yeah, what violence was that, dude? Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Yeah. Hey, And also the prelims, the ones that were on ESPN, Thug Nasty, the dude from Arkansas.
Of course, Bryce Mitchell.
Yep.
What are you doing? He almost choked that old buddy like 45 different times. It was insane.
He almost had him in a twister where it was like a neck crank from the back. And he,
Rosa,
and
right? Course, Rosa, that was Rosa, Charles Rosa.
Charles Rosa, yeah, man. Yeah. And it was
because everybody was talking about that, that's a legendary move. I'd assume that's very hard to pull off. The twister.
Well, the wrestler, it's like the wrestlers will call it a wrestling guillotine. Like they would use that to pin their in wrestling. But the wrestlers, some wrestlers, like I hear DC still call it that sometimes. But Eddie Bravo made it big in jiu-jitsu because he put it into like his jiu-jitsu system, and now everybody, especially a lot of jiu-jitsu practitioners, are pulling that off from the back. Instead of going for like a rear naked choke, they let go, they get the arm over the head, and they attack the neck. So it's really just, it's pretty, when they pull it off, it's really cool. And he already pulled one off in his last fight. So the fact that he almost got it again, he's definitely getting that again in a future fight. Because that kid had that, he had that down.
And
I'm just saying, he was doing that on a good jiu-jitsu player. Charles Rose is a good jiu-jitsu guy, black belt. So the fact that Thug Nasty, Bryce Mitchell, was almost had him in a fucking dozen of them, maybe not a dozen, but he had a bunch of them on him. He's getting that again on a lesser skilled grappler for sure. It's incredible.
Yeah, and we have to, I think we have to wrap up because we have Mackenzie Dern to get to, who's fighting this weekend. But man, I love having you on here. Anytime you want to come on, we would love to have you back.
Matt, awesome meeting you and chatting with you. I respect everything you did in the cage, man. That's a literal modern day gladiator stuff.
Oh, man. Awesome. Thanks so much, Pat. What's your podcast again? Because I want to listen to it.
Nah, it's not worth it, Matt.
I want to listen to it. What is it again? Tell me.
It's not worth the shit, Matt. It's not worth the shit.
Tell me.
Pat Magnus Show 2.0. It's average. Okay. We had Cuban on the other day. Mark Cuban had our first billionaire on the show.
Oh, nice.
Not a bad conversation.
That's awesome.
I didn't embarrass myself. I did pitch my company, though, for him to invest in it. He said he had bad service. TBD for later date. Jim, you were supposed to be on my podcast. We had this whole thing going, and we didn't have a studio at the time.
Yes.
And I want to let you know that I still to this day think about our miscommunication in the way that booking happened, because I think you're a legend in this game. And I will let you know, I apologize for the way that whole thing went.
Dude, it's all good. Sam loves you. We'll do it another time. It's great to talk to you, man. I'm happy to have you on here anytime.
Appreciate you guys. Good Thanks, show. Pat. Have a good one.
All right, nice Pat. Take care, man. Be good.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you to Pat McAfee. He's a great guest. And also Caitlin Chukagan. Now, Matt, before we have Mackenzie Dern, you wanted to say something about advice for her.
But what if she comes right on? It's gonna be awkward.
Well, it's a suggestion. She might want to hear it.
This is what I think. When I watched her last fight, okay, it's not that her striking is bad, but she goes from striking to shooting, which means the takedowns is a double leg, a single leg, a lot of shots, that type of stuff. So it's great if you pull it off.
Right.
If you don't, it gets exhausting. I'm going to point to two fights of mine. My first fight with Shoni Carter, that's how I fought. I got him down. I didn't finish him. We got back up. He survived. And then I kept going for doubles and singles. And I got exhausted, man. You know? Then I fought him like 6 years later. I shouldn't be as athletic, all right? I'm not as – every time I got into a clinch, I would do – I added into my game – inside leg trips, body locks, those kind of takedowns, okay? I have foot sweeps like I got Matt Hughes with. I didn't have that when I first started fighting. I just base it on the athleticism and try to get a hold of my opponent there. But I'm telling you, even we were just talking about Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Even if Mike Tyson fought a guy nowhere nearly as skilled as him, okay? How many he might knock him out a minute or two or less, but even in that time, sometimes him just trying to knock the guy out, they're in that clinch, and you see the ref comes in, okay, let me break you apart. Then they start fighting again, and then he knocks the guy out. If you get good at the clinch takedowns, I'm talking even in over and under, doesn't have to be double underhooks or anything. In the clinch, Jimmy, how a better boxer, the ref has to break that up how many times with a guy who's more powerful who will eventually get the knockout?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to say, if you add in the clinch takedowns, it'll make a hell of a difference. And if you miss one of those, you're still – it doesn't hit the gas tank as hard. You understand?
Right.
All right. That's what I wanted to say.
That's much better advice than I would give. You're a very good analyst of
– Well, fight. I just know from experience, and I know how exhausting it is when you do not get those singles or doubles. And, you know, the clinch takedowns could make a big difference. How are you, Mackenzie?
I'm good. Just in the hotel room basically all day. But it's kind of good. It's so hot in Vegas, so I'm not suffering with the heat.
Now, where are you based out of? Are you in Arizona, if I remember correctly, or am I completely wrong?
California. I was in Arizona, but like the last 2 years, I've been in California.
Okay. So how are you handling this whole pandemic? Are you a stay-at-home person, or is this driving you crazy?
I mean, like in the beginning it was okay, you know, because I like to be at home and it was kind of enjoying the time with my daughter. You know, she's a baby. She's 11 months now. So kind
That's
of
nice.
Going through the phases of her learning to walk and everything was fun. But even like being at home with my daughter all the time, I need to get her to spend energy and everything. So now me and my husband, we want to go to the beach and just being able to train like normal, you know. In the beginning, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know, Rocky Balboa, like working out on the streets and stuff. But now I'm like, okay, I just want, you know, want like structure and everything.
And she's your first child?
Yes.
So now I'm not a parent. Now you have your baby. Does it change the way you think at all? Has it changed anything for you besides just liking being a parent?
I think it makes me like less of a baby, you know, now that I have a baby, I'm less of a baby, you know, just like training and everything. When I would have like a bad, hard day of training, or I don't know, I wouldn't get a position right, or maybe I was submitted all the time. I would just like be crying and how am I going to fight like this? You know, I'm not, you know, I can't go into a fight being like that. And now I'm just like, oh, it's okay. You know, like tomorrow I'm going to do better, you know, or oh, it's just today. And I see Mo and she's healthy and everything's good and smiling. She doesn't even know if I had a good day of training or bad day of training. So it makes me a lot more like, okay, it's not the end of the world. You know, you have like bigger things to worry about.
You know, what's wild. Your last fight, you had that fight. It was 4 months after you had your child, had your baby.
With Amanda.
Now, a lot of women, you know, and my, you know, I'm married. My wife has, you know, we have three kids. A lot of women are still just trying to get off the, you know, the baby pounds, like the Pringle pounds type of thing. And you're taking a cage fight 4 months after. Is that like, now what made you want to get back in there so quick? And how'd you feel with the camp?
I think just trying to be like, my whole MMA career, I've been, I had 7 fights before my last one. And was basically like one every 3 months, basically, you know, it was just back to back. And as long as I wasn't injured or anything, I was just fighting fast. Like, okay, my debut in UFC Vegas. Then 2 months later, I was in Rio, you know, and before that, December, I was in Invicta. So I didn't want to stay that much time just off away from it. Just from, you know, I was saying the like ring rust, you know, where you could, you know, like a little bit rusty and everything. And then I lost. And of course, when you're winning, everyone's like, okay, yeah, you can fight whenever you want, you know, we'll put you, you know. And then as soon as I lost, they're like, oh, well, we'll see when we can fit you in, you know, and we'll see whenever it comes out. We're just like, man, like, let me come, you know, I want to come. And then the whole, like, coronavirus happened. I'm just like, almost I'm like the same amount of time as a pregnancy, you know, like I'm from October to May, you know, almost like 10 months. You know, I feel like, man, that's what I do want to have all over again, you know. So just trying to fight as much as possible, as long as I'm healthy, you know.
Now, go back.
No, I was just going to say, because, you know, everybody, every fighter, you know, very few fighters in this game are undefeated. You know, all the best, all the legends, you know, I mean, I got a shitload of losses. How did you deal with that first loss? Because what happens is when you're winning, everything's roses. Everybody's great. When you lose, it's, at least personally, it was a disappointing feeling having people I liked or some people I thought I liked or acquaintances say the wrong thing. Like, so, or, and you just want to strangle everybody, which you probably can. So what, how did you feel after that first loss? How did you
deal with that? that's like exactly how I felt, you know, because at least from jiu-jitsu and everything, like I'd have a tournament and maybe I lose my weight class and then the same day I go and win the absolute, you know, and maybe I even fought the same person who I lost to in the weight, you know? So this whole like winning and losing and record, it's more like consistency, at least for us, you know, like, okay, who's more consistent in general? If you lose one fight, you know, it doesn't change, you know, like how it is, you know? Of course, if you're like losing for a whole bunch of fights, you know, then you start thinking, okay, maybe I have something I need to change training or anything, but one fight, man, I prepared so hard for the fight, you know, because knowing I came from the pregnancy and everything. So I was kind of like, I was expecting that maybe people thought that when I lost, I'd be like maybe depressed or sad or anything. But I was more sad about it, what everyone was saying about me, you know, like, oh, you know, just I said, man, how are you saying that? You know, because I like, I lost one fight and, you know, I felt good in the fight and I didn't feel like, oh, I was so way out of my league or anything like that. You know, I just felt like, okay, she was better than me on those 15 minutes. Okay, let's get back into it. And, you know, everyone tries to find like, what did you learn? What? And I said, man, I don't have like really excuses, you know, because came off the pregnancy. I did the best training camp I did physical wise, you know, because I had I didn't make weight, you know, my fight before that in Brazil. So I was like, man, I need to make weight, you know, I don't want to get cut from the UFC. Everyone's going to say about the weight. I had a baby. Everyone was saying I wasn't going to make weight. So I was just training. And then I didn't get the win, you know, but for me, it didn't change anything. Like with me, I wasn't sad for me. I was sad hearing people that I liked or maybe that I thought, like maybe I admired and saying some things, you know, and just even the fans too, you know, it's crazy.
It didn't shake your confidence at all?
No.
Do you watch fights? Did you watch this fight again? And did you watch with your coaches? Or isn't it funny? I do the same shit. When I'll watch like the certain fights, like my Frank Trigg fight and stuff, I'll watch it a lot. Or even on a bad day, I'll be like, oh, I'm having a shitty, I'll be sad, glory. But it's the total opposite with a loss. It's like you don't want to relive that frustrating, shitty feeling. And it's like you don't want to relive it. Where when you win, you're like, yo, I'll watch this every day of my life.
Yeah. And I learned so much. Even when the things I win, if I win, I see like all the things that I like, okay, I won, but look how I was moving there, you know, or okay, man, I could have like submitted here. Or, you know, I still like even learn from win, you know, but especially with everyone just saying the things, you know, I haven't even seen the fight, you know, and I just prefer it. I think it's so, especially because it was like decision and everyone, like a lot of people saying, oh, you were like just beat up for 3 rounds. And for me, I didn't feel I was beat up for 3 rounds, you know? So yeah. I don't want to re-see something and say like, okay, some people interpret that one way and I interpret it another way. So I just want to live like thinking about the next fight and train on me and focus on me.
So things people were saying, now when you say people that you liked, you mean like somebody you kind of liked were saying things about you, like criticizing the way you fought and it kind of bothered you a little bit?
Not necessarily like criticizing the way I fought, but people like, oh, well, you made the decision to come back soon. So what'd you expect? Kind of thing like that, you know? And I think like, man, if I came back now, if I came back later, I could lose any time, you know? I could lose if I'm fighting, you know, every 3 months. I could lose if I'm out for, you know, 2 years, you know, you see like Dominic Cruz is out, you know, John Jones is out and they come back and man, they are athletes, complete beasts, you know? So like when I hear things like that, kind of just like judging my decision on coming back, it's like, man, I came back to try, not thinking about the loss, you know, thinking back to get my name out there. You know, at least when you're not fighting, people aren't talking about you, your name isn't in the media and just trying to get back in there and get that rhythm back in. And you know, that be on that confidence train, you know, as long as you're going up on the train and going, then I think it's hard for the fighters to stop you, you know.
Did you drive or fly to Vegas?
Vegas, I flew.
Oh, you did? Okay, from California. Now, was it, we asked Caitlin the same question. Was it nerve-wracking getting on a plane for you?
No, it was just, for me, it was okay. I had my little mask on, so it was everything right. It was, the most nervous is the fact that, like, in Florida, they were unsure if the fight would be in Florida, here. They're thinking maybe Arizona. I saw like in Florida, Tony, he took his wife and his son. And I've never been more than 24 hours away from my daughter, you know. So then they said, Vegas, confirm Vegas. And I can't take my husband. I couldn't take Moa. So I'm like, I've never been 24 hours and I'm going to be 5 days without her, you know? So I was at the airport crying and she's like totally fine without me, you know? But I think that was like the biggest thing for me, you know? Like, okay, is my husband going to be okay with her? Is she going to be okay? You know, everything like that.
Now, what do you think, even in jiu-jitsu competitions, you have a lot of, you know, you competed a lot.
Yep.
There's always been a crowd. Mm-hmm. What do you think, how do you feel about going into this fight and it's not going to be a crowd there? It's, you know, it could be a little different.
I think that's the biggest part that I'm nervous, you know, is not crowd yet, because I always grow with the crowd. People always say like in the training, like, man, like you really grow in the competitions, you know, my whole jiu-jitsu career, like in the training, people come around the world to come train with me. And like, they give me a hard time, you know, and they think like, man, this girl's like world champion and I'm kind of like doing good with her, you know, because like the training is totally, I don't know, like kind of more fluid, you know, I'm flowing and I'm trying, feeling the person, you know, and like I make mistakes. And then on the fights and other people, they do so good in the training. And when they get to the fights, they, you know, and I don't have that freeze, you know, it's opposite for me. So I'm kind of like, oh man, how's it going to be? Like, I heard from the last fight that they hear like the commentators talking like, oh, she looks tired. Oh, she's got, and I'm like, oh man, I wonder how it's going to be like hearing my other opponents, like my opponent's corners and just being way more focused, you know, but I think we'll be a good fight. You know, I've been doing a lot of sparring for this fight, even though all the, everything that's happening, you know, it's kind of hard, but I'm very lucky to have some friends that came and helped me with the sparring. So I'm excited, but I'm so nervous to feel how we'll be without like that, the crowd and the hi and the cheering and everything.
Well, good luck, Mackenzie. I mean, the card is a great card. I'm happy they have another one so soon. Of course, the main event is Woodley Gilbert Burns, and you're first up on the main card against Hannah Cyphers. And have a great fight.
Yes, thank you guys so much. It's great talking with you.
Yeah, congratulations on your daughter, too. That's nice.
And tell you, not to sound, I know your dad. Tell your dad, the great Megaton Diaz, I said hello.
Yes, I will. Don't worry. He's
tell him I said hello.
I will.
All right.
All right. Take care, Mackenzie. Good talking to you.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, her father's an OG in the jiu-jitsu world. Yeah. He's a really talented jiu-jitsu man, you know, and great competitor himself in the jiu-jitsu world. And and teacher, you know.
She's very nice, too.
Oh, I mean, again,
I keep saying that because all the fighters are nice, but she's a nice person.
You know, it's funny. Longo hit me up. He's like, yo, my hip's got an issue. You mind if I come over there and use your pool? He was using his buddies, but it's not heated. I got a heated pool. I go, Longo, just for me breaking your ball, I'm going to, you listen, if so, you watch my Instagram, because the second he goes in there, I'm going to start torturing that motherfucker. Jimmy. All right, wait, let's do the picks really quick. Three fights.
Yeah, man, let's do picks. You know? Now, let's start with the main event. Woodley against Gilbert Burns. I know we advertise, we analyzed it a little bit yesterday. It's hard to say because Woodley, there's very few people that hit harder than Woodley. But they raised the point. It was either Bisping or Lewis that raised the point about how he's kind of hanging around waiting to use his right a little bit more. He's coming off a very tough fight with Kamaru Usman. A very, very, Usman was very dominant. Gilbert Burns looked great knocking out Damian Maia, which is different than knocking out Woodley. I really don't know. I'm going to let you pick first.
I'm a fan of both guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, styles make fights. Now, listen. I'd love to be proved wrong. Maybe Gilbert's, he thinks he's going to fake a shot, do a high kick. You don't know. And you know, he's working with Henry Hooft.
Yeah.
You know that. So listen, if he surprises, he surprises me. But if he doesn't surprise me, I'm going to say Tyrone Woodley by decision. Because I think unless he gets cleanly like knocked out Gilbert, which is a possibility because of how hard Woodley hits.
Yeah.
His defensive jiu-jitsu skills well, could survive. If he gets taken down or if he gets punched or hurt, he can go to his back and recover. So I think, and Woodley's went five rounds before with guys that are very mobile, like the Enigma, the great Wonder Boy.
Yeah, twice in a row, and then with Damian.
Yeah, so I'm going to say due to experience and power and wrestling base and good hips, and great raps. The rap skills has nothing to do with it.
Sure,
I went too far.
You did.
But I'm going to say Tyrone Woodley by decision.
I'm going to take Woodley third round stoppage.
Okay.
I think Woodley is going to get off. And I don't know why I'm saying third round. I think that, you know, he'll be a little bit more like, again, like he was with Damian Maia. He might be fighting off takedowns for the first couple of rounds. So I'm going to say third round. Okay, now even off against Augusto Sakai, I think so you say it.
Yes.
Sakai is 14-1. He's 3-0 in the UFC. Coming off a loss to Derek Lewis, split decision. It was a close fight.
That is the Black Beast.
Yeah, and he did beat Tai Tuivasa too.
Sakai.
Okay.
Sakai, I'm saying. Okay.
I am going to say
Sakai by decision. I hate to keep saying decisions. I don't want it by decision. but that's what I'm going to say.
Even off second round stoppage.
You know what? Fuck that, Jimmy. Now you got me amped up. I'm saying the same thing, but the exact opposite.
Okay.
The Kai second round stoppage.
All right.
Okay. Sorry about it. I didn't want to. Anyway, one more.
Sure. We could now do Green Rodriguez. We could do Roosevelt Roberts. 9-1, very, very solid against Brock Weaver. Of course, we have Mackenzie Dern, Hannah Cyphers.
Let's do them all, Jimmy.
We might as well. We're here. First of all, how do you think Dern and Cyphers are going to be?
I think Dern's going to come back. I think she's going to come back, and she's going to let me see. I think that she's probably going to get a do I have to pick the submission or no?
I'm going to say
submission. Submission first round.
I give
coming
her,
out like a bat out of hell.
I'll say second round submission.
Son of a bitch. I was going to say that.
We'll see. My picks last time were very bad, so you might
first be round smart. Submission.
All
first
right.
round submission. She's coming out like a bat out of hell. She's all pent up.
Yeah, she okay? is.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying, you know. But let me see. Roosevelt Roberts versus Brock Weaver. Let me see here. I'm going to say. Roosevelt Roberts, he is 3-1 in the UFC.
Yeah.
And Brock, you know what? No, Brock Weaver, I was impressed with him.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. Wasn't I? I'm trying to think if that's the right fight.
I was impressed with him. No, I wasn't.
Oh, he's
poor Brock.
Poor Brock just did.
He's going to watch this. Matt's there. Yeah. That's going to be such Brock. A range of emotion. No, I was impressed with him. That? No, I wasn't.
No. I'm thinking.
I like Brock. No, I don't. That's going to hurt his feelings.
No, I do like Brock. I'm trying to think here. Let me see. I mean, Roosevelt Roberts has the UFC experience.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That might make the difference here, actually. It really might, you know?
Uh-huh.
So what I'm going to say, you know what I'm going to say? I hate to say it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he has a lot of experience too outside of the UFC. Who are you going with?
I'm probably going to take Roosevelt Roberts. I'll give him a decision. That's a tough fight.
Well, you know what? This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say Brock Weaver.
Okay.
Bye. Unanimous decision. Exact opposite, Jimmy. Sometimes I like to draw swords with my little Jimmy Bird.
I don't mind that.
I like to ruffle your feathers. You understand?
Now, the third fight, we might as well do welterweight. Gabriel Green's his first fight in the UFC. And Daniel Rodriguez coming off a win against Tim Means. I submitted him in the second round. Now, again, I'm always weird with guys in their first fight. You never know how they're going to handle it. The crowd might actually help this guy. You know, this might be good for Green because there's no crowd, because I think part of the thing that would make people so nervous their first fight is the magnitude of the audience when you're in a UFC fight compared to other promotions.
So you're trying
to deal with that.
You're trying to say that, you know, Gabriel might be he's a little green in the,
your audio cut out.
Jimmy, I wish we had the boo button, Jimmy.
No, we don't need it.
Anyway, let's just keep going.
Here's the boo button, Matt. I do this.
does it hurt you? Does it make you want to unfriend me on Instagram?
No.
Okay. Listen, I'm going with Daniel Rodriguez.
Okay.
By first round submission. I said it, Jimmy. Don't say it. Don't you fucking say it.
Hold on. Let me see.
Don't say it, Jimmy. I said it.
No, I'm not going to say that. I want to see what Green has done in his last couple of fights.
Say that, I'm reading that Mike Perry's saying that only his girlfriend will be in a corner. His girlfriend and her and a friend will be in the corner. Mike Perry's fucking funny.
I love Mike Perry.
I mean, come on, man. It's not an act. The fuck is no. He's got his girlfriend. I think he's got a 22-year-old girlfriend.
That's Mike Perry.
She's gonna be dude. I'm not saying I recommend that, but I hope he does that. Because I think it's fucking hysterical.
Gabriel Green.
Okay. What? Jimmy?
Gabriel Green, second round sub.
Tim Means is not an easy guy to take out.
No, he's not. No, not at all.
You, I don't know if you know that. Do you know that?
I'm aware.
Sorry, Jimmy. I'm taking, I told you what I took already.
Okay. Okay.
Listen, man, what do you want to plug? Where are you going to be?
Honestly, yes. Nothing.
Jimmy, nothing?
No, I'm okay.
Well, listen.
Jim and Sam on SiriusXM, and SiriusXM, I believe, is free for everybody right now to listen.
And Jim, UFC Fight Night, Woodley versus Burns, Saturday, this May 30th, this Saturday. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I try to do it all professional. I fuck up. It's at the Apex Center in there's motion at my front door, by the way. As I was reading this, all of a sudden motion. I got the ring alarm thing. It's at the Apex Center in Las Vegas. Any new listeners and new MMA and UFC fans, type in Chris Lytle and watch some of his fights, because that guy like had like an award for the most finishes and shit. And then we were talking about him earlier with Pat, so I just want to give him a shout out. That's what I do with my time. Mm-hmm. I don't plug my personal shit. I give warriors like Chris Lytle some shine.
Yeah, you do.
And then go to Sarah BJJ and get yourself a Kimura Savage t-shirt. Jimmy, I love you, buddy. Say it back.
I love you, too. I love you too. I'll see you in a few days.
I'm going to talk to you after the fights, Jimmy.
Yes, definitely.
All right, man. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, see you soon.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, guys. Thank you.